great to have you with us from wherever you're tuning in from. For more information about Elevate Church or to contact us, head to our website elevatechurch.me and take us wherever you go by downloading our Elevate Church AU app. We hope this message inspires and helps you to take your next steps in your journey.
No doubt you've noticed that crosses are literally everywhere. You know, people have crosses as jewelry, necklaces, and earrings. We see crosses on hospitals, crosses on bumper stickers, crosses on schools, crosses on tattoos, crosses on churches in some cases. And it's kind of a bonkers idea that people in 2024 are flashing crosses, or at least bonkers if you know the origin story, and would be especially bonkers if we somehow time-traveled people that were living under the oppression of the Roman Empire into 2024, and they saw you or me or somebody or a building garnishing a cross. You see, the Roman Empire ruled and expanded and managed and contained the people that they made subjects by this delicate kind of tightrope with the carrot and the stick. You know, they would come in and they would introduce sanitation, roads, infrastructure, stable government, bring in wealth, and so on. That's the carrot side of things. Then they also were very good at the stick. It's like everything is going to go well for you if you don't stir things up. And so they got very, very, very good at quelling insurrection, at ensuring and putting up kind of safeguards to ensure that people wouldn't step out of line. And the ultimate one of these, like the absolute pinnacle, was the cross. They had plenty of torture devices. They had plenty of other means of putting and punishing people. But the absolute ultimate was crucifixion on a cross. And they got very good at it. Like, very good at it. It was done publicly. So that it's like, you see what happened to this character? Don't let that be you. Like, they would take their time so they could extract maximum exposure to people that this is a thing, this is happening. They would parade people. It was just like, and they did it so much that historians record that the Roman Empire started to run out of timber because of the sheer number of people that they were crucifying. So here we sit, Good Friday. We call it Good Friday. Anybody that had to watch a brother, a parent, a son, a cousin, a neighbor crucified on a cross during the time of the Roman Empire would never, ever say that was a good day. And yet 2,000 years later, we call this day Good Friday, and we actually celebrate. We come to remember, we come to reflect, and ultimately come to celebrate that the ultimate symbol of death now has become the ultimate symbol of life for hundreds of millions of people who gather across churches all around the world over the course of this day. But the reason we call this Good Friday isn't about remembering a cross, a piece of timber, a human, because Jesus wasn't the first person put on a cross. He wasn't the last person. He certainly wasn't the only person. This becomes Good Friday when we start to remember what Jesus actually made possible by allowing himself to be hung on a cross. Now, this is PG. We've got our Elevate kids in here, so I'm just going to have to kind of, you know, pump the brakes on some of the graphic details. But let me just say this. Jesus ultimately getting to the cross and having endured everything that he physically endured in the hours leading up to being hung on that cross, many people in that era who were put through that exact same journey didn't even make it that far. It was so brutal that many died before they even got to the phase of the crucifixion. And so Jesus had been tortured. He'd been mocked. He had been spat on. He was forced to carry probably the cross beam of his cross, which would have, that's after the torture and the mocking and so on. That estimates is that probably weighed about 50 kilograms, which, you know, that's heavy by anyone's imagination, let alone given what he'd just gone through. And then he gets nailed to the cross. And again, the Romans, they had this dialed in. The means of hanging someone on the cross was designed so that that individual would be a public spectacle for hours before they ultimately passed away. You didn't die the second you got nailed to the cross. You had to hang there in full view for hours. And Jesus, that was his journey. He didn't escape that. He didn't get to skip a step. And while he hung there for those hours, he's recorded as having said seven specific and different things. It's kind of collectively become known as Jesus' famous last words. And I think it's kind of pretty easy to conclude that if Jesus knew that he was going to be there for only a few hours, that he would be very, very, very selective in what he said. There would be incredible meaning in what he said. He wasn't going to talk about sports. He wasn't going to talk about the weather. He wasn't going to talk about what you did on the weekend. He was going to say some stuff that really, really mattered. The first of which, he said, Father, it was a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. For him to say, Father, forgive them, the them that Jesus was referring to was his torturers. They had literally just finished putting him through the worst of the worst punishment. And Jesus didn't pray, Father, get them. Father, punish them. Father, rain justice from heaven on them, which he could have prayed any of those things. And yet he prayed that his torturers, who were guilty of doing what they did, that his Father would give them what they didn't deserve. That's why we call this a Good Friday. Because that's kind of us. People say, and we grew up in a church where they sing this song, were you there when they crucified the Lord? And I'd think, no, I'm here. It's 2,000 years ago. How old do you think I am? Oh, but you know, you did that today. And so you're just as guilty of putting Jesus on the cross as they were. I'm like, no, I'm not. Don't lump that on me. There is this church Bible word called sin. Now, it's not popular. It's not politically correct. I mean, after all, who are you to tell me what's right and what's wrong? Huh? By what standard are you measuring my actions? All right, fair enough. But if you ever watch the news, which I don't recommend, by the way, if you ever watch the news, and you see the wars, and you see the political drama, and you see all this stuff happening, and then you turn it off at the end of, you think, okay, all right, even I got to admit, everything's not right with this planet. Everything's not right with these people. And whether you want to call it sin or not, the fact is that we all mess up. We've said some dumb things. We've done some dumb things. We may be, even in this day, walking around living with regrets, wishing we could have a do-over. But you know as well as I know, you don't get to have a do-over. We don't have a time machine. That happened. You're guilty. I'm guilty. Those regrets can very consistently escalate to guilt and to shame, and which those things can start to eat at us from the inside. And we talk about this idea of carrying the weight of guilt and shame, wondering if there's a way to have that weight removed. Well, Good Friday reminds us that Jesus' first words, the first thing that he was thinking about and the first thing that he chose to say and to pray was to pray to his Father about some guilty people, some of whom later said, oh, oops, he really was who he says he was, and I would like to have a do-over, but you don't get one. But you can be forgiven. That is extended to all of us, and that's why this is a Good Friday. And then I'll just quickly throw to the second one. The second one, and you'll often see, and we have this here, you'll often see three crosses when you look at artwork about Good Friday. The center one is Jesus. The other two is because Jesus was hung on a cross in the middle of two everyday criminals. Now, he was the odd one out because he didn't actually commit any crimes. The two clowns next to him were very much guilty, and they knew they were very guilty. One of them, he starts mocking Jesus. And I mean, fair enough. What has he got to lose? Then the other one, I love it, kind of turns and yells across to him, "Oi, shut up, mate. We're guilty. We deserve to be here. This guy, I know for a fact, he's guilty of nothing. Quit your mocking." And then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom." Like, I'm guilty. I deserve to be here. And Jesus said to him, "Don't worry, I will. Today, you'll join me in paradise." This exact same thing of the seven things that Jesus said whilst hanging on the cross, the first two were all about forgiveness. We're all about this pathway that we have access to, this gift that's given to us. And it's just like any other gift. All we have to do is receive it. So this is like a super famous Easter, Good Friday thing. This is something that Paul, one of the early church leaders, wrote to the church in Ephesus. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, Jesus, his blood poured out on the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all our misdeeds. It's no denial. You did it. I did it. I said it. You said it. But not just barely free either, abundantly free. So what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to celebrate communion together. And the video we played before I started up here talked about Jesus having broken bread to symbolize his body being broken on a cross, wine to symbolize his blood being poured out for us. That is exactly the thing. So we've got some crackers, some juice down here, and just, this is it. Even church veterans, you've done this a bazillion times. This is it. This is what we're doing today. We're remembering not the cross for the sake of the cross, but what was made possible, that we are now free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all MSDs, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. Today is Good Friday. It's not denial. It's Good Friday because of what Jesus made possible, freedom.
We really hope you got a lot out of this message. If you live in the Perth area, we'd love for you to join one of our live experiences. For times and directions, as well as information, head to our website, elevatechurch.me. For those of you beyond the Perth area, we'd love for you to connect with our online experience, which premieres every Sunday via YouTube and Facebook Live, and on demand immediately after. And to partner with us to reach more people by giving financially, head to our website, elevatechurch.me, and also download our Elevate Church AU app.